to receive documents 10 days before a presentation is made, so that we are able to look at the presentation, we are able to interrogate the presentation. When we come to a portfolio committee meeting, we are well prepared. Because we are not doing this because it's a nice to do thing. It's a constitutional mandate. What we're doing is a constitutional mandate. And we are not doing it because we like to do it. We're doing this on behalf of our communities. We have received the presentations this morning after reading some material. We don't know. I don't know what to say. It's distressing. When you look at your entities, in fact, the idea of the department not reporting on entities is a big surprise to us as the portfolio committee. Because we only received yesterday. We were not here. We came back late last night. And we've been asking information, your presentation on entities of the department, because 80% of your budget goes to entities. It is transferred to entities. So if you don't report on entities and expect the entities to report to us, why are you giving entities money in the first place? How are you doing it if you will expect them to come here? We believe that entities are your baby as the portfolio committee. And if they are your baby, you need to ensure that they operate and they deliver on their mandate. So as the portfolio committee, we are distressed, we are perturbed. The information that we have received is not good at all. But we are going to give you an opportunity to do the presentation, and then we will ask questions thereafter. And we've noted a number of the things that you are going to report on. We've noted a number of them. And we are asking ourselves, how is this department doing its business? When you find, you know, a lot of things happening where you get irregular expenditure, where you get people who don't sign performance contracts, when you get an audit committee that is not functioning well, where you get something that are happening but are not in your report. So when you get the Auditor General saying there are misstatements, how does it happen? How do you get there as a department? But we want to give you an opportunity, and we will thereafter ask questions. And I always say that whatever we do, as I said earlier, we do it on behalf of the people of South Africa. And when we ask questions, don't personalize them. We are not attacking you personally, but we will ask questions, we will ask difficult questions, and we expect you to respond to the questions that we're going to ask. Don't take it personally. Just know that we are acting on behalf of the millions of people that are the citizens of this country. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Tom, and good morning, Honorable Members. There are apologies from both the minister and the deputy minister from our side.
Thank you very much. Are there any other apologies?
Yes, Chairperson, the apology from Honourable Toledi was withdrawn.
Those are the apologies, Honourable Member.
Chairperson, can we get clarity on the whereabouts of the minister and deputy, please?
Okay, members, the apology from the minister reads as follows. On behalf of the Minister of Arts and Culture, Honourable Ian Mteto, we wish to attend an apology for the portfolio committee briefing session scheduled to take place on the 14th of October 2014. The minister, due to family engagement, will not be able to attend the meeting. However, please note that the acting DG, Mr. Wiercek, will attend. And the apology for the deputy minister reads as follows. As the Deputy Minister for Arts and Culture, I, Mr. Joyce Mabudafasi, MP, acknowledge with thanks receipt of your invitation to the above-mentioned presentation by the Department of Arts and Culture, to the Portfolio of Arts and Culture, scheduled for 14 October. Kindly be advised that I will not be able to attend the scheduled presentation as I will be opening the 11th National Oral History Conference 2014 in Johannesburg, as well as attending the cabinet meeting in Pretoria. Let me assure the Honourable Chairperson and the committee members that had it not been for these events, I was going to attend the presentation by DAC on its 2013-14 annual report to the Portfolio Committee. I will appreciate if this matter can be noted accordingly.
Are Honourable Members? Honourable Member, do you want to say something? Dr. Hood? I see that you want.
No, I just stand corrected. The minister and the deputy minister tendered their apologies, and you see the DDG will be here. Is the DG not here?
There's an acting DG. They are going to introduce themselves after this. Did you want to say something?
No, I guess my question would have been related to the one of Member Hoedboom, and I think you responded to the issue, which hopefully we will get that clarity.
Thank you very much. We have the apologies. We accept the apologies.
I think this being an oversight engagement, whilst it would have been good to have the minister and the deputy, but I guess the most qualified people to respond to the issues that members will be raising are the ladies and gentlemen seated at the other side. Just that some of them are sitting too much at the back, yet we have quite so enough space for them. We want to see them closer, if it's possible, Chair.
Thank you very much. And I think as you have said correctly, that the accounting people are here. The accounting officer of the department is here. But it would have been good to listen to the political overview by the minister or deputy minister of the work of the department. Be that as it may, I'm going to give over to the leader of the department. And if you can, acting DG, introduce yourself. And I don't know whether you do have a letter that's telling us that you are the acting DG. You'll tell us, introduce yourself to the members and tell us if you have that copy of the letter.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Vuyong Jack, and I've been appointed the acting director general with effect from 30th September 2014. Ladies and gentlemen, I haven't brought the copy, the original, but I can forward it to the portfolio secretary for distribution to the members today.
Thank you very much. I think it's important that as the committee we receive the letter. Otherwise, anybody can come here and say they are acting and lead the delegation. It would be proper for us to have the letter. I don't know whether maybe it can be sent before the end of the meeting. I think it would be good if we can have the letter before the end of the meeting, so that we are assured that the person who is leading is the person who has a letter of appointment. So if you can arrange that, I think that we get the letter before we go out of the meeting, it would be good. I'm going now to give you an opportunity to do the presentation of the department, and as I said earlier, that we will ask questions as the department and expect that we are going to ask questions that are outside your presentation. We are not going to be guided by your presentation, but we are going to listen to your presentation, and we'll ask anything within the presentation and be warned that we'll ask anything outside the presentation as well. Thank you. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I would like to introduce the team that is with me today. On my right, we have Mr. Osindima, and then we have the DDG on heritage, and then we have the acting CFO, Mr. Mandalanga, and we have Monica Newton, the DDG on cultural development and languages. And then we have the acting DDG, Mr. Conrad Grieve, who is responsible for corporate services. And at the back we have Ms. Masia Mohanedi, who is the DDG for institutional governance. And
can you respond on the issue of us not getting the documents at the time that we asked for them? Like, everybody was here in the strategy planning session where I appealed to the department to submit 10 days before the presentation. They were all here. The deputy minister was there as well. So to explain to us as the committee why this has not happened. And I know you started on whatever day, but we are going to ask you about things that happened 3 years ago in the department, and you won't say I was not there.
Sure. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I must apologize profusely for the delays in sending through the reports and the presentations on time. And I've held up the process, making sure that all the information that was presented, we had to go through the quality checks. And so I take full responsibility for the delay, and we'll shall ensure that definitely in future we shall not repeat the same mistake, and that we will be able to provide the documents way above time. Yes. Thank you.
Chair, I was very, very commitment was made many times to the department.
Well, sorry to come in unrecognized. I think it is actually unacceptable. Just to start, totally, totally unacceptable. I mean, you have a whole year working on the document. And we have to try and understand your space overnight. It's not fair. I mean, we are at a disadvantage. We may ask questions that are in the report and we look foolish, when in actual fact we are made to look stupid. So it's not right. We cannot continue to do the wrong thing as a department. In actual fact, if we had things our way, would have asked you to give us the 10 days to look at the document. But unfortunately, we are caught up by other processes, which you know, so you're actually setting us up for failure. Honestly, it's the last time such a thing happened. And if it does, we'd rather go to the house and say the department continues to disregard this parliament and we have no report. That's what we'll do in future. Well, just that this is the first encounter, but I know that's what departments do everywhere. But I am saying, Chair, in future, if they don't adhere, we will go to the House and we will say publicly that the department has failed to submit the report. We will not say on time they have failed to submit the report. So that we get into a... Okay, anyways, yeah.
Thank you, Honourable Member. In fact, as the Honourable Member is saying, we had toyed with the idea of chasing you away, of not even listening to you. But as he is saying, we are caught up by the timelines, because we work on timelines in this institution. We don't just do things anyhow. We are caught up in a program that has timelines. So we had toyed with the idea, but we thought, okay, as he is saying, for the last time, we will allow you to do your presentation. But as I said, in your strategic planning session, you must take us seriously, because we are not doing this for our own good. It's a constitutional mandate, and we are doing it on behalf of the community. So, acting DG, please. Okay, let me proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to the committee for allowing us the opportunity to present. What I will take you through is the annual report, looking at the highlights of the year, looking as well as the financial information, and looking at some of the issues that have been raised and what are the corrective actions we will be looking at implementing as a department.
The first thing you will do, the issue that the member raised, and I actually raised, We just hear that you are acting. Where is the teaching? I mean, that must be on record. We are accounted for the minister, we are accounted for the deputy. We need to account for the teaching.
Honourable members, I think we are putting the acting DDG on the spot. I don't think Honourable Member is the one who has to say, yeah, this is what happened. He was suspended. And okay. Just briefly. The minister has in fact, not formally informed the portfolio committee, but I think I will call upon the minister to do that formally, because in his letter, what he is saying is that the acting DG will be doing the presentation. That's what he is saying in his letter. So I think he's the one who's supposed to tell us what exactly is happening. And then I will give that correspondence to the members of the portfolio committee. Is that in order, Honourable Member? Honourable Member?
Chairperson, I think it's in order now because I think in terms of the Iraqis, no one here will explain how the activities you came. The minister or the deputy minister need to tell us.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Okay, I can do it.
Honourable Members, the presentation outline will take us through the strategic overview, performance overview, and including of selected programs, and look at the report by the Auditor General, and look deeper into the numbers in terms of budget versus the expenditure, and look at the expenditure variances, full explanation thereof. The strategic overview looks at the vision as of the Arts Department of Arts and Culture to be we are a thriving arts and culture heritage sector contributing to sustainable economic development and leveraging on partnerships for a socially cohesive nation. And the key there is making sure that we are thriving and sustainable economic development. And the Minister has outlined in his budget speech how in the next 5 years the sustainable economic development will be cemented within the department. And also looking at the Partnerships for Socially Cohesive Nation in the MTSF, the department has been tasked with the leadership of Outcome 14 relating to nation building and social cohesion in line with the vision. And the strategic goals of the department are the development, protection, preservation and promotion of arts, culture and heritage, ensuring there's access to information, and having entrenched linguistic diversity, human capital development, governance and accountability, and job creation. These strategic goals are in line with the National Development Plan, and they've been building on the national growth path. And the performance overview, well, in 2013-14, we've achieved 71% of the performance objectives, and 29% not being achieved. And when we compare to the previous years, 2012-13, it has improved from 55% to 71%. However, there still is room for improvement, as we'll unpack later on. And this just shows us the trends between 2011 to up to 2014 in terms of the performance objectives. And when we look at the performance of selected programs in the department, the National Building and Social Cohesion, in 2012, Honourable Members, we had the Social Cohesion Summit, which adopted a 12-point declaration, and which included the hosting of Provincial Social Cohesion Summit. And to this end, the DSC has collaborated with the Northwest province to host this provincial summit under the theme Working Together Towards a Caring and Proud Society. And quite recently, Gauteng has also had a provincial summit. And also, the year 2013-14 saw the appointment of social cohesion advocates and the finalization of the Community Conversation Program. So when we look at the conversation programs, they have taken much more full steam in the last 3 months as we've had them around the country. And also with the social cohesion advocates in terms of empowering them with toolkits in order to be able to engage meaningfully as social cohesion advocates has been done. So there's much more work that is being planned under this program. And when we go through the legacy project that seeks to transform our heritage landscape, 40 legacy projects have been conceptualized in the past 5 years, 11 which have been completed, and 29 are still in the pipeline. And when we look at the spread of these projects, we find that quite a number are still in Gauteng with 12, and the idea is to make sure that they are spread appropriately across all the different provinces. And when we look at the rate of completion, six have been completed in 2013-14, and These are the Nelson Mandela statue, and as outlined there, the six programs. And 2013 was the centenary of the Union Building, and this marked a very important milestone with the erection of the statue of the first democratically elected president, President Nelson Mandela. And this unveiling coincided with the country's celebration on National Day of Reconciliation in 16 December 2013, and a befitting tribute to the year that Dada passed on. Another legacy project was the John Dube Project to mark the implementation. We had a salt turning ceremony to mark the implementation of the second phase of this legacy project, which was held in Inanda Township in Durban on 14 March 2014. And this phase includes construction of the amphitheater, access driveway, parking, and the fencing of the homestead. And then moving on to geographical names. This program entails naming of geographical features in South Africa and is part of the process of transforming our heritage landscapes. So over the years, a total of 265 geographical names have been approved, and more than 50% of them are in KZN. And in the 2013-14 year, 54 names were approved, and with 37 being in KZN, and followed by Mpumalanga and Gauteng. Flags in schools. Through the Flags in Schools program, we seek to create awareness and popularize our flag as one of our national symbols. So when we look as at 31st March 2014, we had 5,301 flags installed in schools throughout the country. And this also involved a capital injection of 38 million in the current financial year, 2014-15 financial year. And the department projects to have a total of 15,000 flags to be installed by 31st March 2015, as there's been capital expenditure put in to make sure that this process is accelerated. And cultural events, we've held 72 cultural events over the past 5 years with about 141 million spent. And the geographical spread of these cultural events over the 5 years have been mostly Gauteng, Eastern Cape, and the Western Cape with Limpopo time. And the idea is to be able to have flagship festivals or cultural events across each province at a minimum. And for example, we had Buloya Miruba Drumming Festival, supported by the department in Limpopo, which then offered vibrant dancing, music, food, and colorful traditional items. And also within the same financial year, Imbelwe Mapondo group from Lusikisiki was invited to partake in the festivities in this cultural event. And also across beyond South Africa, we've also participated in a Pan-African music event in July 2013 that was held in the Republic of Congo. Public art participation, the department initiated 14 public art programs over the past five years, and the total budget of 5 million has been spent over the 5 years. And that has ranged across all the provinces, except we haven't had in Limpopo a new public art program. But the idea is to make sure that we have spread across the country. And as part of the MGE program, we have had touring ventures, 26 touring ventures over the past 2 years, and a total budget had been of 7 million has been spent, and mostly of these touring ventures arise from Gauteng, KZN, Western Cape, and KZN and Free State. And then part of the MGE programs we have, and to develop the capacity of our emerging artists, we have an emerging creatives program, which was partnered with Design Indaba in Cape Town. And this event was held on the 26th February to 2nd March 2014. This event creates a platform for young emerging creatives to showcase their innovative products to the public. And of course, this is also going to be building going forward. We're going to be looking at having incubators, as the minister outlined in his budget vote, to be able to nurture these creative, emerging creatives, and then in terms of being making available tools of production so that they can be able to showcase their work. Now, looking at a performance review of the selected programs, community libraries. The departments receive a conditional grant from Treasury for the building and resourcing of libraries. And on average, the library grant increases by 7%. And when we look at how the utilization of the grant has happened, most of it goes to new libraries and also supporting the compensation levels within the libraries. And it shows the increase in the annual grant. And the geographical spread of the newly built libraries have been around Gauteng, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. Nothing yet in the Free State, but the idea, once again, is to ensure that we have libraries built across the 9 provinces. And in terms of upgrades of libraries, we have had 244 libraries upgraded over the past 5 years, and this has happened across the country, mostly in Northern Cape and the Eastern Cape, being largely the beneficiaries of these upgrades. And the National Book Week is celebrated annually to promote culture of reading and writing. And the 2013-14 event was celebrated in the Nelson Mandela Bay Municipality in the Eastern Cape. And the highlight of the event was the Reading for Redemption initiative for past offenders as part of their rehabilitation process. And then we also have National Archives Week, which is designed to raise awareness about the importance of record management. And the 2013-14 theme was the role of records, archives in deepening democracy, where students, academics, historians, and public visited the National Archives and learned how historical records and information are recorded. And then when we look at linguistic diversity, translation and editing, official documents are translated into and edited in all official languages and foreign languages. And 6,639 documents were translated and edited over the past 5 financial years. And we're seeing, though, in terms of the trend, there's been a decrease in terms of the translations that have been taking place. And the key thing is to know how do we make sure that there is an active promotion and getting more of the documents to be translated into various languages. And so that's a key concern that we do have as a department that we need to work on. And terminology development, close to 89,000 terminologies have been developed over the past 5 years. And terminologies have been developing in arts, culture, life orientation, elections, mathematics, soccer, and HIV/AIDS domains. And of course, there's more work that needs to be done. So when we look at the radical economic transformation, we do need to be able to have also terminologies developed for business, because that's how you would able to also then drive that radical economic transformation agenda by having terminologies in business. And then when we look at human capital development, so we have a program where we place artists in schools, and this is done through, over the 5 years, we've had 404 artists placed in schools. What this does is that it enhances the income streams for artists to be able to increase their sustainability, but at the same time to be able to give back to the communities. And so when we look at the distribution of artists, it's been mostly in the Western Cape, and equally so between KZN, Free State, Northern Cape, and Mpumalanga. And so that shows the trajectory in starting 2010, how we've started increasing that. And this is a very important program to be able to promote the culture of arts and culture within schools by placing the artists there. And then over the past 5 years, we've issued 1,203 bursaries, And the province that has been the major beneficiary was Gauteng, followed by Eastern Cape. And these grants are channeled to universities to redistribute. And when we look at the spread, that's also an area where we do need to make sure that we have a spread across the 9 provinces. And when we look at the list of universities benefiting from the Language Bursary Fund, we find that UNISA has the most recipients of the bursaries. And we also have bursaries for heritage sector. 244 bursaries have been awarded over the past 3 years, with Gauteng, followed by Limpopo being the major beneficiary. Once again, this is an area where we need to make sure that there's an even distribution of bursaries provided, since we do have heritage across all the provinces. Now, getting into the Auditor General report. Over the 4 years, the department has received an unqualified report, and this year we've received a qualified. Now, what is the reason behind the qualified, the qualification? Well, the key reason provided by the Auditor General is that there have been misstatements identified in the financial statements, though however corrected, but the fact that they've identified them, it's a reportable matter. And also, there's been quite a number of findings on non-compliance with various regulations. And most importantly, the inadequate system to prevent irregular expenditure. As we'll see, the accrual of irregular expenditure over the years and the reasons thereof being provided by the Auditor General. So this is one of the key areas and the key reason provided by the Auditor General that they could not be able to ascertain the completeness of irregular expenditure that has been reported in the financials. So therefore, they could not really give an opinion to saying that this is what is reported is the complete amount. And then driving this irregular expenditure is that the procurement and contract management systems in the department are inadequate. Inadequate because through the procurement, we haven't been able to follow appropriate procurement processes. And also the contract management system is not adequate to be able to give the full picture of the commitments that are being made by the department, leading, of course, the Auditor General to not be able to express an opinion. And so this is an area that we are vigorously working at fixing. And towards the end, I'll explain what are we doing to fix this. And then there's been findings on predetermined objectives. Now, the predetermined objectives, they need to follow the SMART principle in terms of being very specific, measurable, relevant, and so forth. So in doing the assessment of some of our predetermined objectives, not all of them met the SMART principle. And in some of them, there was not appropriate evidence to support whether a particular thing was done. And so that is the weakness in the system. And then when we then delve deep into the irregular expenditure, in 2012, the department started with about 41 million. That was unauthorized expenditure. This year, there is no unauthorized expenditure. And this relates the unauthorized expenditure where 41 million was spent to for purposes that were not in accordance with the intended purpose. And this relates to the FIFA World Cup. And then looking at irregular expenditure, the department has seen increasing levels of irregular expenditure. And there's various reasons. And mostly it relates to supply chain reasons in terms of not following the supply chain regulations, such as, for example, not tax clearance certificate provided from service providers, and then no services, no evidence that preference point system was applied in procurement, and so forth. And of course, what has exacerbated the problem is that the instances of irregular expenditure have increased over the years, and therefore, which is hence why there has been a qualification based on the auditor not being able to fully say this is complete irregular expenditure. And so as we sit today, we're sitting with a balance of about 171 million relating to irregular expenditure that we then have to deal with. And of course, cited amongst the reasons why this has increased is the lack of no consequence management, consequence management within the department in terms of bringing accountability to the people and taking appropriate action to the people who've incurred this irregular expenditure. And then when it comes to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, from 2011-12, we started with 743, and it has increased to about 2.7. And mostly, for example, breach of contract with the service provider and failure to defend a court case resulting in paying interest. And so there has been a trend of not being able to defend a court case, which could then have led to recoverability of the amount. And that is also a weakness that has been identified within a department that needs to be rectified. And then moving on to the analysis of the budget vis-a-vis expenditure. In total, we've had 2.9 billion appropriated, and only 2.75 billion have been spent, leaving us with a variance of 159 million. Now, what this means is that we haven't spent the amounts as appropriated. And this balance then has to be surrendered to the National Revenue Fund. And of course, we'll unpack the reason why this has not been fully spent. Now, when we go into the key areas, it's really relating to the performing arts with 29 million variance, and also heritage promotion being the main drivers behind this, and as well as the National Archives and Library Services that is relating to the conditional grant. And so these three programs are really forming the bulk of the under expenditure. And when we then look according to the economic classification, we find that goods and services are having a variance of 68% vis-a-vis as well with the capital works being 95 million. And so those two are the critical make up quite a big portion of that. And then when we go into the detail, so looking at the compensation of employees, there was the 185,000 variance relating mostly to administration and cultural development that can be attributable to the vacancy rates that we have. Currently we're sitting at 8% vacancy rate, and so that is an aim that we need to, that we as a department are trying to make sure that we are able to fill those positions. And then when it comes to goods and services, with a total variance of 137 million, most of that relates to the under expenditure on the installation of flags. 44 million is relating to the installation of flags, and which we, in the current year, have been pushing hard to make sure that we are able to meet the target of 15,000 as outlined for 31st March 2015. And then we also have Mzansi Golden Economy Project, whereby the environment application was approval was received quite late, and then only then were the payments that were committed to for relating to MGEs were then paid, which then resulted in a shortfall of under expenditure of 26 million. And then 527,000 relate to community libraries. And the big one relates to 60 million, which is a correction for office accommodation. We've been previously accounting for office accommodation as a goods and service, where it should actually have been accounted for as a transfer to the entity. So all our entities, we've been paying their office accommodation through goods and services, whereas it should have been through transfer payments. And that just then shows the allocation on the goods and services in terms of where the under expenditure then is made up. And then looking at the conditional grants on community libraries, we have on the flags, on the flagship arts program, we had 6 million variants. And due to those reclassification from goods and services to transfer payment, now relating to MGE funds, and then about an amount of 3 million was not spent on community libraries. And then in the MGE projects, we had two that were at the municipal level that were not actually spent. And so when we then look at the grants across the community libraries, well, the amounts that were actually transferred as per department were equal. However, the amounts were not necessarily spent at the provinces. So we will transfer their money as per the appropriation. However, the provinces then would then be accountable for the expenditure. So now, when we then delve deep into how the provinces have utilized it, we find that the variances range from, in the Eastern Cape, underspending of 3 million, given, for example, that the Karendo new library project was not implemented within timelines due to challenges experienced with contractors. And so there's various then reasons that are provided by the entities for not spending the amounts. So the variance might not sit in the department, but it does sit to say how has then the amount been spent by the final beneficiaries. And then it just then highlights for the different provinces the underspending. So the only province that then where the budget was fully spent was the Western Cape. And then looking over to the departmental agencies and accounts, where the department pays subsidies to the various performing arts institutions, PENSAL, heritage institutions, and libraries, there we show that we have a variance of about 8 million. And when we then unpack the capital amount, then it shows that there is a budget underspending of about 2 million. So in total, most of the amounts relate to your current costs. And then looking at PENSAL, they have actually, in terms of, we don't have any variance there, however, there's problems underlying in terms of how their budget is spent. While they might be showing a surplus, but there are certain deep-seated problems that need to be dealt with at PENSAL level. And then in terms of the heritage institutions, we also have quite a big shortfall, and mainly relating to capital transfers. So we have a problem in dealing with the capital transfers in terms of maintaining the infrastructure and making sure that the infrastructure programs are implemented as per plan. And when we then also then look at the capital works, we do find that the capital work of libraries is also where the backlog is. And we'll be able to unpack, perhaps during the question times, most of some of the underlying reasons thereof. And then in terms of looking at the expenditure on economic classifications on higher education and other non-profit entities, so we don't have high variances on that, and except we've had a reclassification of the Nelson Mandela statue as a capital asset sitting in our books rather than as a transfer payment. Now, honourable members, what are the corrective actions when we look at some of the core, when we look at cause and effect kind of analysis? At the core of this is our supply chain management issues, where we do need to be able to relook at our policies relating especially to expenditure that is very unique to the sector, such as the procurement of artists and related expenditure. However, the most important thing is to ensure that there is consequence management in implementing the supply chain management policies that are in place. And that means that there must be a zero tolerance policy, that we cannot tolerate the incurral of irregular expenditure, which will then help to stem some of the problems in terms of increasing the increasing irregular expenditures. Secondly, contract management. We are currently working on systems to be put in place to make sure that we can monitor contracts, to monitor in terms of value for money, in terms of when the contracts come to an end, before they can be renewed, that there has been value for money. And if there hasn't been, then it needs to be not renewed, and have mechanisms in our contracts to make sure that we can be able to monitor them even before they come to their end, so that we can be able to make sure that we will be able to have value for money. And so that ongoing monitoring of contracts and commitments, that we can be able to then make sure there's value for money, but at the point in time, we can be able to know how much the department is committed to. Consultants. That's also quite a source of the problem relating to the irregular expenditure. When you look at the budget that we spend on consultants of outsourced activities of about 153 million vis-a-vis our compensation budget, it is very high. And so we have beginning to implement, as per the Treasury cost containment measures, directives, to decrease reliance on consultants and make sure that we build internal capacity, which means that we need to relook at the organizational structure to make sure that we are able to effectively utilize our people and optimize our resources. And then fourthly, on capital works, this needs a major rehaul where we need to reevaluate the performance of the implementation agency that we are utilizing currently, and even looking at how we prioritize our projects to make sure that service delivery is not impaired. And lastly, on the MGE, looking at how we streamline the application process to make MGE funding more accessible, but more importantly, to make sure that the funding of the MGE projects is aligned to the minister's budget vote. So on that note, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. So take questions.
Thank you, honorable members. Must thank honorable members, not ladies and gentlemen.
Apologies, Chair. Thank you, honorable members.
Thank you very much, Acting DG, for the presentation. And, you know, as Honorable Maslangu said earlier, some of the things that you are saying are some are things that have been said again and again and again. They are like tired statements now. We listen and say, we've heard this before. And I think what we need as the committee are concrete programs to say, on this, this is what we are going to do. When we say we are going to look at the issue of contracts, do we have a contract manager? Do we have this? If not, when do we envisage to have it? Because we've listened to statements that are meant to address the situation, but looking at the situation, it's getting worse every day as you are looking at your irregular expenditure. It's going up rather than going down. So we don't want promises. And we don't want you to try. We want you to do. We don't want people who are trying. We want people who are going to change the status quo, change things as they are now, because the situation is totally unacceptable. I'm going to give honorable members an opportunity to ask questions and make comments. Honorable members? Questions and comments? Dr. Mulder? Honorable Member Assan and Honorable Makonda, in that order.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairperson. just a few things to help clear it up. I'm also new in this committee. I see there's quite a few international projects where we take part in. I'm not exactly sure how it works. Do we subsidize South Africans to go take part? We just subsidize that function wherever it is somewhere else. Because I might have a question mark, what's in it for us? Because that's normally the selfish type of test that all countries do. Why do we do it? Is it any benefit to us? Just broadly from that point of view. And I think you mentioned more than once, and we spoke about that, the Auditor General, well, on sanctions or something for people that, I don't know how to put it, don't learn or don't... from the Auditor General's report, it seems that a lot of regression took place, where we're not going in the right direction as far as some of these problems are concerned. Now, I'm not sure exactly what are the sanctions that you can take. You know, one of those where money spent for services not rendered. Now, that's a very serious thing, if I'm correct. I'm not sure how big that amount is, but that means the money is out there. Somebody got money as a present. What are the steps you take, and can we help you to strengthen that in a certain sense? On the language bursaries, I think that's good, but I'm not exactly sure how does it work. Is that for students to study languages? That I think is good. Is there a condition maybe in that it cannot be only English? What about the 11 languages specific? Because I know that the so-called African languages are going in the wrong direction at universities at the moment. Can we do something to enhance that and to enhance studying that? Maybe it is that. I'm just trying to make sure. And that's more or less that, yes, sir. Maybe on terminology development, maybe explain what it is exactly. Thank you.
I hope that you are noting the question, and then you'll be given an opportunity to respond. Honorable Assan.
Thanks, Chair. Firstly, I must start with the issue of e-languages. The issue of languages, as the committee, we raised this serious problem in connection with this matter. In our strategic plan, the last strategic plan that we held at Franz Hugo. We are glad that you are here as the department in connection with this. The questions that we raised there, I would like to repeat them as the department is. There is currently a serious challenge in terms of teaching deaf learners in special schools sign language, due to lack of sign language skills of educators.
What drastic measures are being taken to turn the situation around as the department? And also, many deaf children are not attending school due to a lack of sign language. Medium schools closer to them, which is really sad. This is a clear violation of rights of these children. And history will judge us harshly if we do not take care of this precious creation of God. What strategy have you put in place to deal with this dilemma? I'm not saying only those who are attending school. I'm saying all of the deadly, those who are deaf. And also the last one in connection with the language. In the incompetence of many sign languages, interpreters, and emergence of fake sign languages, interpreters in South Africa, in terms of grave consent, we have seen during the memorial service of the late Tatu Mandela at FNB Stadium, how so-called interpreters turn our country into a laughingstock. This serious affects the rights of deaf people access information and communication. How do you regulate this profession to ensure that the deaf people are not taken for granted? I thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Mahon.
Thanks, Chair. I expected this report, Chair, to cover entities as agreed. And you can agree with me that there was no mention to entities. And we all agree that 80% of the budget of the department goes to entities. And if we are sitting here, we are only told about 20%. And that we convinced that we should not worry about 80%, then there is a problem. It's a concern. That's my problem one. The other issue, Chair, which also relates to these entities which were not given a report for, is that we have conducted oversight to theaters, museums. We have seen structural defect, yet DEC did not even transfer funding to maintain this infrastructure. So we want to understand why and how the department is going to make sure that this situation does not repeat itself going forward. But the other issue is in relation to which the acting DG spoke about, the issue of consequences and accountability with regard to transgression. Everything that is happening in the department, the issue of people not following procurement procedures. Can we be given a time frame so that we don't come here next time we are told that those issues are still in the process? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. We are now going to give the department an opportunity to respond, but we are going to go to the next round of questions. If you can respond to the questions and comments that have been made.
Honourable Chair, apologies. There were two parts of the presentation. The first part dealing with the department, and I had the second part dealing with the entities as a separate presentation. So, Honourable Chair, should we answer the questions and then go into the entities?
Yeah. questions about the department, and then we'll give you an opportunity when we're done with the department on the entity.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Perhaps starting with the issue raised by Honorable Member Mulder and Honorable Member Makondo on consequence management. The key is having a zero tolerance. Now, there's two levels in terms of the irregular expenditure. We have irregular expenditure that was incurred in previous years that will continue being irregular until they are either condoned, and that will continue. And there's a second level which can still be incurred now. So what we're saying is that consequence management, from now, we will not tolerate the incurrence of new irregular expenditure. We still do need to deal with the irregular expenditure to get to the bottom of it. At the end of the day, for it to be substantiated that it needs to be condoned, there must be reasonable reasons attached to that. But then we also have to look at measures. What are the measures to be able to, if we've lost money through the irregular expenditure, there must be recovery processes, and we need to have the resolve to take that to its logical conclusion. Until, of course, you find that there's no other alternative, and then a plan will then be presented to it depends as well who incurred the irregular expenditure. If the irregular expenditure by the official, then the Director General, the accounting officer, will then condone and then request the minister to then be able to effect the condonation. However, if the irregular expenditure was incurred by the director, by the accounting officer, then the National Treasury then has to condone such. And so those processes have to be taken to its logical conclusion. And with current irregular expenditure, the policy has been no approval, no condemnation, there will be consequence management. And poor planning cannot be utilized as an excuse. So we have taken that resolve, and the message has been sent throughout the organization. And then perhaps on the questions, we can start on the questions of languages with DDG Newton to be able to take us through.
Outside of our mandate, but how
perhaps my CFO can look at the questions around the international program.
Thank you, Acting DG. We have what we call cultural seasons, which we do with different countries. And at the moment, we've finalized the French season, and we're busy with the UK season and the China season. And basically, it's an exchange program which we have with the different countries, and we do support South African artists who participate in the different platforms in those countries. Thank you.
Okay, Didi Jindimba, on the issue of structural defects at our heritage entities.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. Maybe just to elaborate a bit about structural defects, because they talk to what the acting DG spoke about in terms of the capital works budget, which seems to be a bigger challenge in terms of spending. Also indicates that over years, the capital works budget has been the responsibility solely of Department of Public Works. But of course, because of many projects that got delayed, we also looked at the IDT, Independent Development Trust, to actually assist us in terms of accelerating the projects. But of course, I mean, over the years, we've realized that that doesn't seem to be a solution. And that's why the Acting DG indicated that we just have to evaluate the entire capital works project and begin to say what is the better way of implementing it. One of the thinking that is there in the department is that also we don't just have to look at other institutions, we have to look at ourselves and say, do we have the necessary skills, technical skills within the department to be able to deal with these issues? So basically, the issue of capacity is at the core of actually the problems that we have with regards to the structural defects. And also with a very slow pace of even the new projects, the legacy projects that we're implementing, at the core of the problem is capacity that we just have to work on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have follow-up questions on the issue of languages, the bursary. The process of identifying the students who are going to receive the bursary, is it, do we give according to the need in a particular area, or how do we do it? Because I have an example of the Eastern Cape where we've seen recently the MEC for Education saying that because there are no African teachers. So I would think that that would be a specific need that we would address in that particular area to ensure that we have young people who are going to be trained to teach Afrikaans as a language in the schools around that area, because there were schools that were closed because the department couldn't get Afrikaans teachers. So what's the basis of our giving the service to this learner? And also in the issue of seasons, how is this benefiting us as a people from South Africa? As the people of South Africa, and how are artists identified? Artists who go there, how are they identified? Are provinces involved in the identification of artists in their provinces that go to the seasons? And if you can be given an idea of which artists participated in the French seasons that we are just out of. And I think for us, because we are from different provinces here, and we want to, when we go back to our provinces, we want to be able to ask, to answer questions that are asked about these things from us. I think those two, if you can, I can just have those two. I'll give you the next one. Oh, you have something? Okay.
Chair, just on the matter that you have dealt with, according to the report and the response by the lady there, you only concentrating those seasons, whatever they are, to Europe and China. Are we not able to have them in the continent? I mean, my understanding that the country's international policy is looking at Africa, but we as a department seem to be looking elsewhere. Just perhaps that kind of clarity.
Because if it's not linked to that, there is going to be another round of questions. But if it's linked, it's linked, it's okay, you can ask.
No, it's on placement of artists. What I wanted to know is, since they were saying there is placement of artists in schools, is it in primary schools, high schools, FETs, colleges, and how, who identifies those artists from that particular province? And I've also realized that it's not in all the provinces. I don't know whether they were having them before the previous years, then for this particular financial year, it's only concentrating in other provinces. Thank you.
You can respond to those questions and then we'll go to the next round of flash questions.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Perhaps I could take part of the season's question to say, are we concentrating in Africa? Well, there has been a reorientation of the seasons towards prioritizing Africa and the BRICS countries. And to the end of prioritizing Africa, the department is now looking at the month of May as Africa Month, whereby we can be able to celebrate the richness of cultures across Africa for the whole month. So there's preparation underway to also conclude some of the bilateral agreements that will then be given effect within Africa Month, ranging from in terms of fashion, but also in terms of literature and other genres within arts and culture. And so there has been a conscious prioritization of saying, let's focus on Africa and the BRICS countries. And that is the kind of focus that we're taking. Perhaps relating to the French season statistics, Masiapo could be able to give us much more on that.
Thank you, DG. Chairperson, with your permission, can I defer that question to Monica? She has the statistics for the numbers that we had in the French season. Thank you.
giving now an opportunity for the second bite. Honorable Hotborn, Honorable Mahotsu, Honorable Makondo. Do you want a second bite of this? Do you want a second bite? And also the artist was a new question. Okay, it will be you after her and Honorable Maslam in that order. Honorable.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to ask a question. Also, thank you. I appreciate the department's presentation, which was brief and concise, and I will make you understand that it did cover about almost everything. Now, there's only a lot of questions, but I'll try to concise them and condense them. One, I am made to understand that the all the board's terms end in September. Have you appointed new boards or new councils for the entities? Does it lie within your ambit, or who does that one? The second question is around the performing arts and the transfers. Your slide 53 does not talk to the slide of the annual report, slide 174, in respect to the amount, because indicate there's only 20% being transferred, and your slide indicates something else in your presentation. The third question is about Freedom Park. Now, I need to understand in terms of the salary, or is it honorarium, what is paid to the Council of Freedom Park, because the stipends increased by about more or less 66%. So that will impact on your audit outcomes within that entity and also the department at large. Also, I need to understand within the Freedom Park and with the rest of the entities, the EAP, is it an ad hoc within the entities, or is it does the department have a EAP program? Is it in-house, or is it on a consultancy basis, or is there a particular consultancy that does the EAP. Also, I need to understand, when I look at the programs, or one of the Freedom Park, specifically with respect to one of their targets is, it's not a predetermined objective, it's about collecting archival material up to 3 billion years back. So now I need to understand, how does this cross lines with the museums and the archives, and what is that? Then, if it does, then it must have a relationship with the archives in Timbuktu. So I need to understand in terms of specifically where does Freedom Park come in collecting those archival and archaeological examples of Africa. Because this is what's being said. Also, I'm a little bit concerned about the pools of leaf bay that are picked up within the entities, and I'm about to understand that has been sort of, that employees are, let me say, forced, for lack of a better word, to take their leaves, and that these leaves bay not being paid out. So I just need a short explanation on that one. Right now, let me leave the other one. Just stick with that one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. It will be Honorable Makondo, then Honorable Mkhosi, Honorable Zakur, and then Honorable.
Thanks, Chair. I've got three issues. One, I want to start an issue that relates to libraries.
information that you have built 62 new libraries. I want to understand how much was budgeted for in the last financial year building libraries, and how much was spent, and how much per unit cost of one library. Does it differ to provinces? I wanted to understand. Also, I want also to understand the structural designs of this library, whether they differ to provinces. The other issue is related to consultant within the department. I'm not so sure if you are aware, acting DG, that there are consultants in the department, and they are getting paid a lot of millions of rand. What are these consultants doing in the department? And are you planning in the near future making sure that you do away with these consultants, because they cost governments a lot of money? Three, it's in relation to performance agreement by the staff of the department. Are you aware that the staff members who have not entered into performance agreement with the department, and why is it so? And how is it going to make sure that it assists the department to achieve its APP if you have got staff that have not entered into agreement with the department? So these are the three issues that I want to be clarified. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Honourable
Member. Chairperson, thank you. I've got a lot of questions, but I don't know whether I will be putting them on. I will start with the issues of the department before we go to the issue of the entities under administration. I will take what Honorable Makondo has just alluded on the issue of performance management system. Chairperson, I was a public servant for 17 years. So when it comes to the issue of public management system, I think all the employees of the public sector from level 1 chief can go to the highest one, which is 16, they must undergo it. My question with Masango, the problem is to say if the department doesn't have a performance management system, especially on the strategic level, which is I'm talking about the personnel that I'm facing now, it's a problem. How are they coming here to face us as the committee, not sign the contract or renew their contract? Acting DG, we are shisa lapho khona. Number two, I'm worried if the management didn't do that, what about the other levels going down of the department? So which is the department doesn't have a mandate, or the department doesn't even observe what the public service is saying? That's number one. So what are we saying about our constitution? What are we saying about our labor relation? All the gains that we have fought for, but the department doesn't assist us or doesn't observe that. Again, on the performance management system, I think we do have officials from the corporate service. It's where we will talk about the developmental areas of any official or any incumbent in the government or in any organization. How is the department measure its own personnel if the system is not there? Whether there's a capacity, whether there's a skill, or even if you experience. So there's a non-starter, there's nothing. So we don't have a department, that's number one. and what the annual report is saying. I was just telling the honorable member, it says laying the foundation for the greatness. But it is always the greatness if the performance management system is not here. And the official are flying to Cape Town to come and present for us for the thing that is not there. I will go on number two, again on the department. I don't know whether I will mix issues or what, under the issue of supply chain. It's clear, it says acting CFO, or if I'm right. The main cause is non-compliance. If there's no compliance on the issues of the supply chain, filling the forms. Compliance is all about filling the forms, providing the information, providing the department with necessary documentation of any project. But if the AG is saying your qualification is on non-compliance, I'm having a problem. When you go through the slide, you even came on the issue of the quotations that were under 500,000, they were not complied to. And that time we are having the Directorate of Finances, and if we can go now to do the oversight as a committee, you will find that in that directorate maybe we are having plus minus 30 personnel that are working under that directorate. Unfortunately, what are they doing if we are having what we are having in front of us? Conflict of interest. If those forms are not there, or they are not being signed, or people doesn't declare, indeed, issues of governance are not working in this department. How are you presenting this annual report to us? But issues of compliance, CFO, we can look at one another, but this is my interest, especially on the issues of finance and compliance. The pointing system of awarding of tenders or projects. This is what the AG has found, not us. We went through the reports we received, we went through them, and these are the things that we wanted to raise. What is happening, this qualification? And DG, I did hear when you were talking about the remedy. I wonder how many days are you in that department? And whether the remedy will it be 50 days or 100 days that you will come with in addressing all these issues. Because maybe you came in that department knowingly that the department is not functioning, the management that you're going with doesn't even have contracts, and the compliance is not there. So for us as the committee today receiving this report, some documents we did even receive late, but unfortunately we managed to interrogate them to say, where are we taking the department to? Because this is not a new thing. The chairperson was saying, we are repeating the CD, we are repeating this form that has been read for a long time. When you come on the issues of consultants, is that it doesn't look well totally. We don't understand why the department is having so many consultants. In fact, chairperson, on the issues of consultants, one will even recommend that maybe we must have a very thorough report or forensic report in terms of who are these consultants, where are they coming from, or there's any duplication of jobs, you will find them, that they are there. There's a legacy or Matola, 1.8 million project. People doesn't finish this project. What is happening? How are you going to explain to us what has happened to this project? There's Nagiza, if I'm talking it well. What is happening? there are transfers of funds to other projects that we don't know whether in legislation they must get funds or not. So for us to integrate, especially as a new, you know, a new boom seed claim, so if we can have a forensic on all these consultants, what are they doing? You will find that you will find a consultant in HR, whereas there are HR officials that are there that are supposed to work daily. So these are the things that we need to check. On the boards, why we are having boards in South Africa? We are having boards in South Africa for the independent, to be independent, especially if you are coming to the entities. What is the duration, as we know that most of them have come into end? What's going to happen in terms of its appointment? The issue of leadership capacity skills, including the appointment, how it's going to go. And if the boards are not here or not yet appointed, I'm worried about the implementation of the mandate that they're supposed to do, as 80% of the budget is going to the entities. And the issue of a governance, if there's no board chair, e.g., maybe I will use Robben Island, you will think, how does that institution function? Who's overseeing it now? So everybody, there's a partnership, everybody's running. At the end of the day, we'll be seeing another qualification that is coming. So it was good if maybe this report has covered everything. It's a nice layout, it's a big, thick document with a glossy thing, but other things are not that much open to us. So I so wish that next time, maybe when the annual report comes, let all the information must be integrated, not the one that will want us to see, only to find that there are other issues that are not included here. We are new members, unfortunately. Chair, we can read. Whether we get the document now, we'll sit down and go through it and check which are areas that we pose. So, no, those are the questions, Chair. I will come back there.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to welcome the report, even if I'm not really convinced in some of the areas. Like, I may suggest that in future, DG, while presenting, it will be better if you can, in your slide, have a column that will indicate the previous achievement or performance for all of us to be at par of whatever you will be talking about. Because we might be talking of something which we are not sure of whether you were performing well or not for the past financial year. Another thing is the issue of program one. I didn't hear you talking about human resource. I'm not so sure whether the department has got all the posts filled, the strategic ones or not. But I feel there are positions because you did make mention of the 18 directors. And I think the report indicates that the AGSA has filed the qualified. And to me, I think it's because of some of the posts that are not filled and the compliance part of it. Coming to the geographical names, I heard you mentioning some of the provinces that you are still going to, or that there are certain percentage that you have dealt it with. I'm not sure whether it doesn't cover all the provinces or you are done in other provinces. If we do have that column, really, I think it will indicate to us that Like, for instance, I've seen Limpopo, there's nothing under geographical names. I'm not sure whether you are done in Limpopo or you are still going to have it in your next financial year. Coming to the flags, the distributions of flags in schools, I've seen the numbers that have been indicated in provinces. But there are offices that they do not have flags, as I'm talking. And really, I'm not sure whether for the offices is the responsibility of other departments or is also your responsibility. Translation and auditing, even this one, I've seen it has been indicated in some provinces, in some it's not. I still need clarity also in that. Yes,
thank you, Chief.
Well, I should join those that have appreciated the presentation by yourselves. Well, I've got I don't know whether it's few questions or many questions, but they are quite a sizable number. But the first issue that I'd like to raise has to do with your strategic overview. I think a few years ago, if not two, the Treasury issued a guideline to which departments and entities need to adhere to. So I don't know at that stage whether your department did review your vision and your mission. I can see that your values are quite, they look good to me, but I know, I've got no doubt in my mind, if I were asked all of you there about your vision, you are not going to be in a position to speak to this mission. You won't recite it because it's not concise. So you may need to revisit it so that it informs your direction that you take going forward. That's the first thing. The second question I'd like to raise. According to your strategic objectives, you had planned to achieve a particular number of jobs. And you know that our country is facing the problem of unavailability of sufficient working opportunities. So I'd like to really get to know whether the issues that you had planned to do has been achieved. I didn't pick them up there. I know that they might be on a tight side, but I didn't pick them up there. I don't know whether you did present them. To me, that's the very important one if I look at your strategic objectives, the six of them. I've not had enough time to go through this thing. You'll pardon the speed with which I'm tackling the matter. You've raised the issue about your internal audit. Well, I know the chair did reflect on the matter. Would you say you have an audit that is worth the task at its end? You know, in most of the audit committees that we've had, you normally would have a chartered accountant, but I see you've got quite a few good accountants. But, I don't know what King III says on matters of governance, but I know that as a rule, you would definitely need a CA to be part of the team. But you will guide us because we may not have the required knowledge. Perhaps I'll come back, before I proceed with the rest of the issues I'd like to raise, let me just hop on to what my colleagues have raised around the consultants. Well, Well, we must just express our unhappiness that you are consultancy driven. Yet, you have people which I believe have got what it takes to run this department adequately. We had an opportunity, me and the chair, to attend your strat plan, and we were very happy with the content that presenters made, but disappointed that you actually had to get an external person to come and run your own strat plan as a start. I think that to me was a turn-off. The quality that I think that we picked up, but you go and outsource that responsibility. And I think that's where the failure of any entity starts. Once you start to use external people who do not know you, who do not know the direction you want to take, and you want them to inform your direction, it will never happen. The reason why we have problems in municipalities is because their IDPs are driven and drafted by consultants. I don't know why this department likes these people. We love them. I mean, they are very important to... But, I mean, start them. Consultants. Department. Mm-mm. 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 Now, page 92 of your report, 293. You've got... My colleague here raised the issue of Nakisa. I don't know what this report is actually saying. Do you still have these people that are written here, these consultants that are still working on the project, or they have since left? You just had them in the past one. So now, Bahambi. I mean, some of the projects, if you check on your 93, they are complete. So would appreciate to know actually as to whether you've since parted with the achieving 100%, whether you've already parted with your consultants, because consultants have a tendency to be embedded in the system. And I can see that in the department, some of them overstay their invitation. I mean, how can you have a consultant for the whole term of government almost? So they are permanent in the system, so it's a bit of a problem. But they are, well, I mean, I come from Mpumalanga. From time to time, I do cross the border and go to Matola, Mozambique. The last time I was there, I didn't come across something that could be called a consultant. But it doesn't look like that. Perhaps you could clarify. There's an issue here. There is a sourcing enterprise. I am unable to explain this thing. Well, I am English is my 11th language. I don't understand what we are talking about. Sourcing enterprise. Six of the consultants at close to 10 million rand for 240 days. I want to say, project support, full year. Nakisa, full year. Matola, full year, full year. Bond permanent at a huge amount. So capacity, you actually build capacity out of the department. But anyway, it's a sore point for us, actually. It's a very sore point. And just that I am in a good mood, you know. I work too hard. Once I'm too tired, I get into a very good mood. So I'm not very angry, but this is very bad. But I would like to know who are we talking about here, sourcing enterprises. So, yeah, all these consultants being in Lama, sourcing, mapping cultural industries, 240 days. Actually, some of them, they work even on a Sunday, ne? I mean, this is an annual thing. So they work on Sundays. my consultants. Holiday. When you are off, ni tola mahara le mali umfor, bona they count the Saturdays. It looks a bit very irregular. I want to step off this one. And then your expenditure is a worrying factor. You spend 94.5%, but achieve 70% of your planned activities. So there's no correlation between these things. I think in our last encounter, we did indicate our unhappiness about your plans to underspend. And we can see that in the year that we are looking at, you actually underspend by close to 200 million or so, which is bad. I mean, it's very, very bad. But it's beside the point. 94% spent, but 70% achieved. Something must be explained to us. 4.5% under expenditure. And I would want to assume that it is that Treasury would not agree with this kind of an expenditure, because they wouldn't allow 4.5 under expenditure. But indeed, we did express ourselves in the last engagement. And looks like you are actually underspending more on your very important projects that are supposed to be creating jobs, which is very bad. So you have even failing the government in power in this regard. There is a lot of discrepancies, actually. You look at your heritage promotion. There are issues that the AG was unable to verify. And remember, if the AG is unable to verify to a particular extent, you get a disclaimer or something lighter. A disclaimer is the worst. Something lighter than a disclaimer would be your other one. Adverse findings. They are actually bordering on an adverse in terms of your ability to convince the AG about the information that you are presenting. Exactly what depends on it. So the department is actually reversing, and this does not augur very well for the entities under your stewardship. Colleagues have already raised the issue about the vacancy rate, which we are unhappy about, including that of the CFO. I don't know how long have you been without the CFO. It's been a very long time, totally unacceptable. And the systems failure in the department, from where we stand, could be attributed to the unavailability of this important player. Well, there are issues that we will need to get clarity on with regards to your cultural development. Somewhere in the report, there are indications that you supported more cultural events than what you had planned. But in the process, failed to create jobs. You know, it's very difficult to reconcile some of these issues. I think colleagues have already expressed their concern about issue. I think the first question was about the leadership in your structures. And we just want to restate that that situation is is a problem. We have seen the problems that it has created in entities like your PENSAP, although we will still be going there, but because this is your responsibility as a department, part of your oversight responsibility, it's a serious, serious, serious problem. I would also, towards conclusion, Chair, restate our problems and concerns about the department regressing in its performance, whilst we're expecting them to be performing better with regards to the AG. They are the level that they have taken to go back. I don't know, and I know that this is not a normal issue, but our role is oversight, and we cannot be apologetic about it. From where I stand, Chair, I don't know whether we would find time, but I would have said, because we've got to go clinical in this matter of financial expenditure, to ensure that the things that the department, that HG has raised, to which the department has not assisted, also taking into account the experience we had at PENSAP, that we need to really get deeper into this matter. And for all I care, if we may find space, I would want that the department presents to the committee their management letters so that we can see as to what is it that the AG raised and how do they respond to those issues. Because this qualification is a flashing light of something bad coming. I'm saying they are bordering on an adverse finding, and we have a responsibility as an oversight body to get closer to this issue. I think I should end my queries here, Chair, and I will possibly come back after the next presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think the honorable members have raised the issue of the organizational structure, and the DG did raise it as well. And from experience, the acting DG, we know that officials give you the information that they want you to get. Thanking you, sir. They give you that information that they want you, something that they want you to know. I think it was raised here that there are people that are outside the borders of South Africa working for the department. We would like to have this information, like the one in New York, the person who's been paid by the department in New York, and maybe other countries. As the portfolio committee, can you give us a line on this? Because it has to do with your compensation of employees, the people that you pay, people that are doing work for you. It has to do with your COE. And also, this issue of flag poles or whatever, it's something that we have been discussing in the committee and trying to get sense of why this would be given out to a consultant, the thing of flags. And it costs 3,000 rand to install a flag pole. 3,000 rand. And I think people from KwaZulu-Natal, one village in Alice, would benefit from this. How is it happening? How is it, the outsourcing of this, how does it then play itself when it gets to KwaZulu-Natal, where the people are, where this work has to be done, what has caused KwaZulu-Natal? We want to get a picture of how this, because people are going to ask us questions. And people expect us to know
especially as the Portfolio Committee of Agriculture. So we would like you to give us information of how this 3,000 rand per pole is paid. The outsourcing of this, how did it happen if it's outsourced? If not, can you give us a light? And we had asked, also I think Ujabulisi, the information is here, of how many schools in each province, how many schools are in the Eastern Cape, how many schools have flagged, how many schools, I think Ujabulisi does have that information, and I think we need to get that information, Jabu, as members, so that we have the feel of it. Because as we said earlier, as the portfolio committee, we want the communities to feel our presence, to know that there are people that they voted for that are there looking after their interests. So we would really love to have this information. And I'm now going to ask honorable members and ladies and gentlemen, I'll ask you to grab some lunch because it's going to get cold, and get some while you are looking at the questions, and you know, and but you are invited to lunch as well at the department. Let's pray for lunch, and then I'll give you when we come back. Thank you. Enjoy your lunch, ladies and gentlemen, honorable.